Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood with John Paul Basham.
Yo.
Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
We are in week two of a little, we could call this a podcast mini series.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question though. When does a series move from mini to actual?
It's a good question.
Do we know that? It's after eight. Producer Nathan definitively says after eight. Not even just after eight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to go with. So this is a mini series where we're looking at the new research we have just released on the percentage of students who were active in the church during their high school years that drop out of the church during their college years. So the number is 66%. That is the percentage of students who are dropping out of the church after they've been active in the church during their high school years. So we want to correct it. We believe we can. We've seen in research that there is hope within that number.
We believe you can.
Yes. We believe that you can do it.
The collective we.
We believe. So you can affect this number. And some of the things that we talk about in the book I think will help you make small changes that can keep students connected. You can find it on Lifeway.com or Amazon. It's a good day.
Or
it's
in your
fun.
Local Lifeway store.
Or in your local Lifeway store. That's mm-hmm. right. Should be on an end cap near that student ministry section. So
I challenge you to walk into the front door of the Lifeway store and shout out right when you walk in, I want the Within Reach book!
You should post that on Instagram and tag us.
Man,
yes.
Because that'd be awesome.
That would be really awesome. We'd love that. So do it if you have opportunity, or order online if you'd like to do that too. It'll give you super practical things that you can implement in your ministry right now. It's a quick, easy read. On to the podcast. So the thing that we wanted to talk to you in week two of the mini series were to explore another reason why students are saying that they left the church during their college years. All right, so last episode, we talked about how they're graduating without an understanding of what it means to be connected to the body of Christ, the uppercase C church, and how that influences them then being connected and searching out, being a part of a local expression of believers. So that's what we dove into last time. Today, I think is going to be a really interesting piece of what these people are actually saying are reasons why they're dropping out of the church. And you might be surprised. I don't think you'll be surprised by the first one that I'm about to read. I think you'll be surprised by the second one. So the first one is 32% in the category of reasons related to the church. Now, this is not your student ministry. These are things that they said about churches as a whole that influence their decision to walk away from the church. 32% said church members seemed judgmental or hypocritical.
Yeah, not surprised.
Mm-mm.
If you've been a part of any church, you've probably run across the people that might give students this impression.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, church isn't always the most welcoming, happy place to walk into.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it's possible to get all the hypocritical out of the church. Why? Because the church has people in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's people who are on the sanctification journey, and sometimes that journey there are trip ups along the way because there are people involved, and that's just the way it is. That's why life is messy with people.
And if we're doing it right, then we've got a bunch of hurting people in the church.
Yeah.
Whose needs we're trying to meet. And mm-hmm. One of the pastors at my church said just recently, hurt people.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of a reality to know. You're going to have some people that are in your church that are hurting and are going to respond out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we know if that's a reality, then we've got to lead in a way that counterbalances.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so if the number one reason in the church reasons category of why students and student ministries are dropping out of the church during their college years and we're not going to be able to fix hypocritical, then how do we attack that? Because that is one of, you know, we talk about how we want to provide hope in the midst of these statistics, in the midst of these actions. That one sounds like it's pretty hopeless because you can't fix it unless you look at the number two by a long shot. All right. So this one is number one and number two are close. And then it's 10 more percentage points before you get to number three. So these two are far and away the most contributing as far as the church reasons category of why they're leaving. And I think the number two reason helps us attack what we might be seeing in the number one reason. And so the number two at 29%, I didn't feel connected to people in my church. So remember, this is what they are saying, this group of people who dropped out of the church, mm-hmm. this is what they're saying contributed to that reason. So the opposite side of that means I was looking to be connected at a deeper level to people in the church, and it didn't happen. So at the risk of being too clear, this is not talking about other teenagers. This is a group of people who are that 66% that are dropping out of the church that are saying, I wanted to be connected to people in my church. And so often we have student ministry in this silo of ministry over by itself that might be doing great things, reaching teenagers. There's a cross-section of adults that are involved because you have to have small group leaders and that kind of stuff. And it could be a student ministry doing really great things, but is not taking another step to connect those teenagers to the church as a whole. And just like we talked about last week, that has damaging consequences for building lifelong faith. But not just connecting to the church as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we talked about some keys last week of helping them serve and understanding why the church needs them and they need it. This one specifically deals with the people.
Yeah.
So teenagers in your ministry want to have relationships with people in the church at large. And here's what so if we dive in specifically to the hypocritical thing that we talked about just a minute ago, if you have teenagers that are building relationships with adults in the church, then I think there's more grace and forgiveness that develops in the church because they're going to begin to understand each other. They're going to begin to do more life together. And instead of standing on the outside and teenagers saying, well, these adults are hypocritical because they say all of this stuff and then we walk out of church and I see them in the community or, man, maybe even my own house or whatever it is, and they're living a lifestyle that's completely different from what God's word would say. So this is a bunch of crap and I'm not going to deal with it anymore. Instead of that, it's teenagers realizing, hey, our church is in this together.
Yeah.
The people of our church are growing together, are learning together, are growing in grace at the same time.
And so much of perceived hypocrisy is just that it's perceived. You know, it's the way that they're seeing a situation. And it sometimes is the reality of it, but sometimes, too, it's like they don't see the underlying, you know, reasons and what's really going on. And, you know, maybe hurt that's there, you know, like you were saying, John Paul, or different scenarios that it could be. But the more, like you're saying, that they are, you know, been connected to adults, they're going to realize the bigger picture.
Yeah. Well, and if they don't have relationships there, then they might see other people in the church have a hypocritical moment. But what they don't see, because there's not relationship, is the repentance that they seek from mm-hmm. people that they may have hurt, is the turnaround moments, is them getting, they don't see the getting back up after the falling down because they're not relationship.
And so
all they see from the outside, and I would say this is true for people outside the church who would say the church is hypocritical, they don't see the redemptive moments of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for there to be transparency and for those teenagers, man, it would do so much good for the journey with Jesus of a teenager to see an adult say, man, I did this and I was wrong and here's what it cost me and here's how God chased me down and brought me back. Like they, And not just like big stuff.
Yeah.
Like just in living life, teenagers need to be and see older believers walk through the things that they're walking through now or will walk through one day.
Yeah. And a big part of that is, I think, casting that vision as the student pastor for the rest of the church to say, hey, I know it can be intimidating for a lot of you to pour into students and feel like you have this charge to disciple students when you're not really sure what discipleship looks like. But let's just commit together as the church that we're just going to live life wide open in front of as many students as we can as adults in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're doing, try to open yourself up to these students. Allow them to see you living real life, but living that life for the Lord. It would do a lot of good for a lot of our adults to say, okay, I'm going to give some students access to my life. That's automatically a wall of accountability, you know, to just filter what am I doing, why am I doing it, because I know this many other students are going to be watching.
Yeah.
But it's also a trust builder for those students. You know, when there's no relationship, there's no benefit of the doubt, there's no trust, there's no understanding that, man, they're living life just like I am. You know, so many students that say, oh, they're just hypocrites. Like you were saying earlier, they do all this stuff at church, and then I saw them, you know, out at this restaurant talking this way. Well, listen, if we turn the focus back on the student, then they would realize, we see you doing all these things at church.
Right.
And then when you walk down the hallway of your school, you mm-hmm. act a totally different way. And so just kind of opening up this perspective for adults to students to say, hey, they're learning. And for students to adults to say, hey, we're still learning too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would be so incredibly impactful. And at the same time, connecting students to people in the church in a real way, not as a Sunday school teacher.
Right.
But in a daily relationship, in life lived together.
Yeah. I think part of this for me is the church people in general are really bad at transparency.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so like that's part of what hinders movement in this. And I think when we're bad at transparency, I think maybe there's a hint of that we ourselves maybe haven't grown in our understanding of grace. And so that's part of this issue, is we attack students leaving the church during their college years because the church people were hypocritical or because I didn't connect with church people. We can connect that back to helping them understand what grace is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, I think that there are things that you can do as a student pastor to impact that, but it is also you opening the conversation to talk about this with your minister of education or next gen pastor or senior pastor, if there's relationship there. And like, feel free to use the research from the book. So it's not like, hey, I see this in our church, and you come off looking like you're holier than thou, you know, but use research from the book and say, hey, this is what research is finding.
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that we as a church can begin to address that? Because I think the ground needs to be plowed in student ministry to have them with the openness. We see in the research that there's already a sense of wanting for them to be connected to people in the church, but plow that ground. And then on the other side of things, that needs to be a preparation and an education for adults. And here's what this looks like. Like, this is going to be an initiative of our church, so to speak. We are going to make sure that students and adults are connected more frequently and more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what that doesn't mean. We throw student ministry out and everything that everybody does is all together. That's not what this means. And that's not what we see in the research. In the research, we see a lot of value in student ministry being a part of the discipling life of a teenager and the benefits that that gives. At the same time, we also see a need for students to be connected to older, wiser believers. It's a both and. It's not mm-hmm. a throw one of them out entirely and just focus on the other.
And some of that, I think, too, for you as a student pastor, you've got to increase your knowledge of the people in your church and why they do what they do. And some of that is understanding different generations of people and why they are more hesitant to be transparent or to let people in. And some of that is just because it was the way they were raised. There's a whole generation of people who, you know, I feel like they have to have their house just perfectly in order to have anybody over, you know. And then I think there's like a counter, you know, or a reactive generation below that it's like, I'll just throw everything out at you and tell you everything about what's going on with me. And we've got to help find some middle ground in there with the adults in your church to help them see the value of just sharing their lives and of just letting people in. And it's not the moment. And I think some of them think, well, do I have to tell them everything that's going on in my life? Do I have to be that transparent? It's like, hey, like with transparency with wisdom and like availability with the time that you have based on your life stage, because there are probably a lot of people in your church, just because of where baby boomers are right now, there are a lot of people that are at that brink of retirement and they're trying to figure out what to do with their time. Some of them don't have family in town and they've got some free time to offer, and they've got more free time to offer than some of your young adults that, you know, like kind of your 30 somethings who have little kids at home, or, you know, both people are working full time, you know, whatever that may be. And so you've got to figure out who does have time to be available and transparent and willing and ready and pour into them because they can do it, you know, so that they have a better understanding of what it is that you need from them. Because I think a lot of that is we don't have healthy expectations set up. And if we look at a group of adults and tell them, hey, we need you to be involved in the lives of students, they don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Like, we're passionate about it. We get it. But they don't understand the other side. And so we've got to help cast vision to them, too.
Something that stands out to me, and this will sort of lean into the next episode in this mini-series, but I'll make sure not to steal any thunder. But I think we've all kind of acknowledged a theme of people not really knowing what it looks like to be vulnerable and to be an open book. In doing life with each other, and mm-hmm. and certainly in the discipleship of someone else. And so it kind of stands out to me that we've got to teach, as student ministry leaders, we've got to teach some adults how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before. I remember sitting down at a table with my pastor, who has now accepted a position at another church in Texas. He will be missed. But one of the things that was so incredibly impactful to me that he led me through was having conversation with a group of men around a table with this exercise in discussion. And that exercise is that he would draw a rectangle on a napkin and draw a line right through the middle of that rectangle. The rectangle is standing up on end. And he kind of illustrated everything above this line in the middle is where conversation normally stays in an accountability conversation and dinner table conversation, weather, sports, common interests. And then he would write on that line, line of shame. Conversation very rarely gets below that line of shame. And because of that, we tend to, you know, we keep things bottled up. There's no confession of sin. There's mm-hmm. no community that's gathering together to say, hey, these are things that we've all probably got some elements below this line of shame that are in common among us. And so I'm sitting here wondering what it looks like for student ministry leaders to gather their adults mm-hmm. or even adults that they hope to bring into serving in the student ministry to say, hey, let's go through this exercise together. Let's commit for conversation to be safe around this table. Let's tell each other our story, and let's make an effort, even if it's just the smallest step towards this, for us to all get below this line of shame and begin to venture into what it looks like to truly be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think until we take that step, we'll ever know really what that looks like, or have any comfort in going there with students and modeling that for them. You mm-hmm. you certainly don't want a leader's first out below the line of shame to be, you know, with a group of 11th graders like, let me just, man, I'm just going to go for it, you know?
Like, oh, gosh.
That's not it.
No. And that's why I'm so thankful that, Mary Margaret, you mentioned, you know, there's some coaching involved in this. There's some guidelines, you know, spend some time with the adults that are going to be doing this. But I think the beyond Sunday school / small group leader mm-hmm. exposure to the rest of the church family is clearly something that students are wanting.
Yeah.
And man, what you just described, John Paul, is powerful, not just for the students in that relationship, but for the adults to be in with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll never get there with a group of teenagers at an appropriate level.
Right.
If they're not doing that and involved in the process of experiencing vulnerability and grace from other people in their adult relationships.
Yeah.
So that brings us back to this 29% that says, I didn't feel connected to people in my church. And that was a contributing factor to them leaving. If you combine that with one of the greatest pieces of information that we got from the research, and you might be thinking, wait, are you going to give us one of the greatest pieces of information on a podcast instead of saying go buy the book? Yes, we are, because we love you and care about you.
Thank you, faithful podcast listeners.
That's right. But one of the greatest pieces of information and one of the clearest ways that you can impact lowering that 66% number is by the number of adult spiritual mentors that are involved in the lives of people in your ministry. So the tipping point that we saw from research is that when a high school student has three or more adult spiritual mentors during their high school years, they're three times more likely to stay connected to the church during their college years.
Such a huge
stat. Yeah,
it's massive. And that is, like, that's just high school. Like, imagine, like, if you go back, because so many of you oversee middle school and high school, and you begin that process in middle school, you are multiplying the chance that they stay connected to the church. Now, again, we're not about just creating church attenders.
Yeah.
But we're saying that being connected, when it's your decision to stay connected and seek out a church body, that is a reflection of you following Jesus and being close to him. And so under that umbrella, this is a clear way that you can impact that number. And we already see the great thing about it is that you don't have to convince teenagers to do, like, they're already saying, one of the reasons why I left is because I didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So what student ministry needs to do is to provide more opportunities for those spiritual mentoring relationships to be formed.
Yeah.
And it's so actionable to be able to put that measuring stick out there against every student and say, am I making sure that there's opportunity to hit this mark
mm-hmm.
or not? You can't make a student get into a relationship with anybody that's going to be, you know, a truly impactful relationship.
Yeah, where they say they're a mentor of mine.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can absolutely give them all the opportunities in the world.
Yeah.
That's right.
It would be such a cool analysis every year to go through and actually put a number down for how many students do you know are in three or have three or more meaningful relationships with adults or other leaders in the church.
Or even ask your students at some point during the year, like, hey, who are those people in your life? You know, and kind of even if you're having them fill out a note card and turn it in, just so that you kind of get an idea of who are they listening to and do they have three people that they can name?
Other than mom and dad.
Yeah. You know, because is it
right.
Is it teachers at school? Is it their friends' parents? Or is it their small group leaders and other, you know, are are they Christian influences? Are they people that you would want to point them towards? And I think even prompting them to ask those questions will prompt you to see who it is that they're, you know, that's visible in their lives.
And hey, how about if you have them do that and you start seeing the same name three or four times in your from somebody from your church and they're not serving in student ministry yet?
You go find them.
That's that hit list.
Oh, yeah.
Go after them.
You know, and
that phone call.
Yes. I talked to a student pastor's wife a couple months ago, and it was before I heard this number, but she and I were having a conversation, and she just said she and her husband are serving a small church where they are primarily the two adults in student ministry. And, you know, she was talking about how, I know I ought to involve some other women, but, like, but these are just my girls. And, like, I just feel like she just was really wanting to, like, close the circle and let it just be her leading this group of girls. And I just really tried to encourage her, because I'm sitting here going, this sounds like a red flag. Like, because I feel like her intentions were good, but she was missing out on opportunities to let other women in the church be involved in the lives of
these
girls.
She's trying to hurt somebody.
Yeah, because in the end...
She don't know.
No, she don't know. And, you know, but like, and it made so much sense to hear this, you know, that statistic and for all of these things to kind of click into place. But it's like, I think she was so involved in a good way, but almost to an unhealthy point where she wasn't wanting other adults to invest in the lives of these students. And so I think we've got to be careful of those moments too.
Well, and that statistic honestly pushes back on what a lot of student ministries have laid out as a strategy for. I want small group leaders that are going to stay with this group of kids from seventh grade all the way till 12th grade.
Yeah.
And so this, it kind of pushes it back against that and says, maybe that's not the right way if that is the only environment that is built for adults who are following Jesus to be with teenagers who are following Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad strategy if you have other opportunities within your ministry context to provide, like John Paul mentioned, to go opportunities for those mentoring relationships to form.
Yeah.
But if that is your only avenue for that to take place, then this isn't what Ben Trueblood says, what John Paul, what Mary Margaret said. This is what research shows. When they have three or more of those kinds of people during their high school years, that's when you see that multiplier take effect of them staying connected to college. Now, here's what I think happens in that moment. They hear from different adults who are following Jesus in different ways and dealing with different life stuff, because everybody's life is different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you only have one person pouring into you, you're only going to get a single perspective of what it means to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
So when you have multiple, you see how multiple people follow Jesus, apply scripture to their life. They're all going to be dealing with different things. And so what you learn about how to deal with in your life multiplies with the more people you're asking, how do you deal with this?
Yeah.
Or you watch them go through a time of hurt. Well, that what causes leader A to hurt is going to be different than what causes leader B to hurt, yet you get scripture and Jesus were a part of dealing with that hurt.
And I think looking back for me, you know, I did not grow up in a church where I had the same small group leader, Sunday school teacher all the way through you know, middle school and high school, but I had a different teacher every single year. And when I this year have written a lot on discipleship and thought a lot about it, about the women who've invested in me, I could name you, I think, just about every single Sunday school teacher that I had from 7th through 12th grade, and like something that I gained. And some of them are ridiculous, like weird, you know, like kind of more social things or, you know, fun things that we did. But a lot of them, like, I just learned different spiritual disciplines and practices because I heard them talk about it. Because as we prayed as a group, like, there were some women who just were way more comfortable praying than other small group leaders that I had. And I needed to see, you know, the ones who really dove in deeply and really cast a vision for what that could look like, as opposed to what it had kind of looked like for other people, and how that could apply to my life, and how they loved the word of God, how they served, you know, just the way that they fleshed these things out. I'm so grateful now. And I'm still, because of Facebook, I'm friends with most of them on Facebook now. Like, it's just funny how those things kind of come full circle later on. But I think those women have been super critical along my journey of seeing those things walk themselves out, and I wouldn't have seen it otherwise. And not to say that, like, it's not great to have that consistent leadership, because some of my friends are products of that one small group leader who invested in them over a long period of time, and there's definitely benefit to that too. But I think, like you said, Ben, we've just got to look at the whole picture of what are you trying to accomplish? Where else does this happen for them so that they can see it?
Yeah. Well, we will wrap it right there as we look forward to next week's continuation of the mini-series on the new research. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.